This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. My guests this morning are John Raymer, founder, and Summer Joy Albertson, a core member of the Compassion Games International. John and Summer are here today to tell us about the 2015 Compassion Games, Survival of the Kindest, that began September 11th, a U.S. National Day of Service and Remembrance, and continue through September 21st, the UN's International Day of Peace. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
What are the Compassion Games?
Well, the Compassion Games are the antidote to the Hunger Games. It's really a creative way of responding to the challenges we're facing and to get people engaged. So it's creative, fun ways to do service, whether individually or as part of teams forming around the world, that engage in activities that they then share on a compassion report map so we can elevate the goodness that's happening and share that through the many channels for social media. But basically, it's a way to bring compassion to life in a fun, creative way.
Would you elaborate on the goal of the Compassion Games?
Well, what happened in Seattle, we started the Compassionate Cities campaign movement. And it became clear that it's a beautiful idea to be a compassionate city, but how are you going to know you're doing that? How are you really going to measure that? A lot of people would ask. So there's this idea of collective impact. And it's the idea that communities can come together, create a shared agenda, have something to measure, mutually reinforcing activities, continuous communication, and be a backbone for that kind of change. Well, we realized that the games could be an easy way to make that collective impact happen because we measure the number of volunteers, the hours of service, the number of people that are served, and the money you raise for local causes. So the goal of the games is really to empower communities, to have a way of organizing individuals and groups and teams to strengthen what's already working. There's so many good things happening in our communities. But the games is kind of a framework, a culture hack, if you will, a way of igniting and catalyzing compassion in our communities to do good.
I also just want to add, too, that I think Compassion Games is the only thing that really invites every single person on this planet. It's a space that's not about competing against anybody. It's a game where everybody wins. It's creating that space of collective support and way to actually celebrate each other and honor and be more in partnership with really the planet itself. And we look at compassion as a way of starting within, compassion for ourselves, and then really looking at how we are in relationship with others and compassion for the planet. So that's really how we're looking at compassion and bringing that mindfulness and elevating the best of ourselves in that space with Compassion Games, that we focus on the annual games, which is September 11th through the 21st, but Compassion Games can be every day.
How widespread are the Compassion Games geographically?
Well, the first year, it was 2012, and it was just two cities. It was Louisville, Kentucky, who we had given an award to. And the mayor of Louisville wrote me a letter saying they were the most compassionate city in the world and would be so till proven otherwise. So in the second year, there were 19 teams. And last year, there were 159 teams. And this year, our goal is to serve over 1 million people, to add 150 new teams and 10,000 new agents of compassion. So when you sign up to play the Compassion Games, each day you receive a mission. And we encourage people then to report on their experience of carrying out that mission on the map. So we hope this year to reach millions and millions of people. If there ever was a time for the champions of compassion to awaken and to come to service, it's now. And it's a co-opetition, like Summer was saying. You can't lose the Compassion Games, right? But the idea is this competitive altruism. I was stunned, Diane, all the years of community organizing when I told people, well, the mayor of Louisville says they're the most compassionate city. People would say, wait a minute, how do I get involved? What can I do? And how can we help be a part of making our community shine?
And the games take place worldwide, is that correct?
That's right. All over the world. We have teams in Abu Dhabi. We have teams in Brazil. We have teams in Vietnam. Anywhere where people want to, they can pick up the mantle and say, I'm going to organize a team or play as an individual.
Who has been involved in the Compassion Games so far? What types of groups or individuals?
Including prisons. I mean, not only communities, but the last 3 years in Chino, California, the Women's Correctional Facility has taken up the games. And last year they reported that these 11 days went without a single incident of violence. a woman there who was known as Evil changed her name to Tinkerbell. And she kept that name after the game. So not only can schools, not only can faith and interfaith groups, not only businesses, Lush Cosmetics has been our gold sponsor for the last 3 years. They challenge the different stores to participate in this co-opetition. But the idea is everybody and anybody can take up the games and make it happen within their own community.
Well, one of the things just last night I was reading, as we have teams sign up, we ask them, you know, why are you signing up to play the games? And it's just so amazing to see all the different reasons of teams that have been coming back. This is our fourth year. And the reasons that people keep coming back is just beyond what is our personal intention for the Compassion Games. I mean, there really is something that's happening beyond the work that we do, which is the most beautiful, profound part of it, is it's this collective creation, really. And it comes from the communities. It comes from people that really are inspired by this idea.
Yeah, like in Spain, we got a report that sex workers and nuns teamed up to clean up the streets in Spain. I didn't know what to say when I saw that. I mean, we are a platform. What we're looking to do is, this is kind of new power model where the games are really invented locally wherever people are. They can take the idea and run with it. Reverend Jim Lee in Detroit participated in the games, and we had a way to play we call Love This Place. And people took pictures of places that they love in their community and why they love those places and shared that. In Thurston County here, they created a currency of compassion, coins of compassion. And the kids in the schools here, in 50 schools, were encouraged to give out these coins. So you're not trying to hoard them, you're trying to actually give them away. And you give them away when you see acts of kindness being taken on by kids in schools. We're blessed with Andy Smallman from the Puget Sound Community School. He and David Spangler, the practical mystic, have been writing these missions from the International Kindness Team. So we have a tremendous team of folks that are dedicated and committed to making this change happen. And then when you unleash this kind of creativity, people take it to a whole new places you never would have thought of. It is really humbling and inspiring to read the things that people are doing with the games.
The more that we surrender and let go of Compassion Games being any certain particular way, that really is where the magic and specialness arises, because it's like inviting people to not see limits. It's like opening them up to so much more.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are John Raymer and Summer Joy Albertson of the Compassion Games International. The 2015 Compassion Games Survival of the Kindest take place September 11th through September 21st. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. Well, you've alluded a bit to this already, but what are some of the different ways people can participate in the 2015 Compassion Games?
One way is take a pledge, drive with compassion. Believe it or not, that is a hard thing, you know?
So how do you drive with compassion?
Well, you make a certain pledge. Because remember, there's four steps to the game. So you commit to play, then you actually play. You report on your play, and then you share those reports out, okay? So on the site, there's a whole section of play with lots of ways to play for self, for others, and for the earth. So this driving with compassion is a pledge you take. And then you watch in the process how hard it is to actually stay balanced and cool while you're driving in a little bit of traffic and people are behaving in maybe ways that you don't consider compassionate, and how you respond. It's one of those fun, creative ways. There's a whole section of personal power-ups that we've set up. There's a fun way to play we call Yum the Meal. So before you sit down, and as you sit down and about to partake of your meal, you can bring a little mindfulness and awareness and gratitude for everybody who made it possible for that meal to appear before you. Of course, service projects. In fact, here in Seattle and Louisville, we're taking on this initiative to end homelessness for veterans. This is something that we can do, and something that just takes the will of the community to step up. So a variety of service projects here in the Seattle area. United Way has their Day of Caring that happens on Friday, September 18th. The game starts on the 11th through the 21st. So there's service projects and ways that you can volunteer. People can add their events too. If we want to use the games as a way to promote what they're doing, we want that. But there's a wide range of individual acts you can do, and examples are on the site where you can go under play and see for self, for others, and for the earth.
And also just to backtrack as well of the secret agent mission. So once you sign up as a player, it's really simple. You actually get these beautiful missions in your email every day that is an invitation to really be more caring and compassionate. And one of the things with the personal power-ups that I'm really inspired about, because I've actually have many personal power-ups that I personally designed and brought to the site, is comparing to the Olympic Games, that like the Olympic athletes, they do their warm-ups and they get their strength and core ready for the Olympics. But one of the ways with personal power-ups and even driving with compassion are different ways to prepare and actually build our six packs of compassion, you know, that we're kind of preparing ourselves to really bring that strength alive and illuminate compassion in ourselves, so we then can really be of service from a stronger core, compassionate way. And also that part of the personal power-ups and driving with compassion is the reporting, is really the part two, is coming back at the end of the day and reporting on the report map of what you have done in that reflection, which is the juicy piece, I think, about compassion games, is reporting the reflection makes you part of a collective, part of the global compassion movement.
And those reports feed a scoreboard. So you report on the number of volunteers, the hours of service, the number of people you serve, the money raised for local causes. Now, we don't rank them. We alphabetize them, right? So this isn't about winning and losing. But we're looking to reframe things like games, but also competition. You know, the root of the word competition is competere, which means to strive together. So the idea of a co-opetition is you're cooperating to compete, not against each other, but with each other. And in that way, we're fueling each other and inspiring each other to do our very best. The folks at Louisville said to me, John, we'll come out to Seattle to help you beat us. I said, oh my God, these guys are so compassionate. How are we going to respond to that? And that's the fun and creative dimension of really transcending one's ego in it. It's not about winning or losing. You cannot lose the compassion games.
And it really is playful. I think that that's the beauty as well of the games, is it invites this playful way of interacting in that challenge place. Like, I challenge you to be more compassionate today. Like, there's something really fun rather than this serious competition of compassion, that it brings that ease.
And, you know, this is a segment on sustainability. Let's tell the truth here. Things are so out of balance. I mean, look at all the money we spend on professional sports. Look at the Olympics. I don't know how many hundreds of millions of dollars are spent on building and promoting our physical strength. Well, what about our social and emotional strength? Who are the real all-stars here? The people that are every day doing the work of caring for each other, whether it be for your kids or for your husband or your families or your wife or your brother and sister or your schoolmates. I mean, these are the acts of compassion. These are the muscles that we want to build. We want to use the games as a platform to create a benchmark for what communities are capable of doing, and then challenge themselves to do better each year as we go forward. It's like the Olympic movement, the compassion games movement.
And also, too, connecting to the reality of suffering and the difficulty that happens all over the world, that compassion games is a really wonderful place to source that suffering and like what to do with the suffering, like how to move. Compassion at games is an opportunity to move and actually do something that is going to help the suffering, to transform and transmute.
We say, let's do the heavy lifting with a light heart.
Yeah, it's like rather than focusing on how much money we have, it's like how big are our hearts? Like how much are we really doing in our lives connected to our hearts? And what really lights us up and lights each other up? Are we caring about each other? I think that's really where change can happen, when we get out of our heads.
Now, we're planning to go mainstream with this too, Diane, with your help. Something that just happened. We set a goal of serving 1 million people during these 11 days, and things start to emerge. Well, I'm proud to tell you that we've just launched the US TV Talk Show Host Challenge. And we're reaching out, you know, who are the influential icons in America that could reach millions and millions of people? Well, these talk shows and their audiences are like armies. You know, there was the Colbert Nation, you know, and Team Coco. So we've put them all into a league that we've set up on the Compassion Games site. And we're going to be reaching out to each of them and their staff to encourage them to participate during this 11 days. I'm proud to tell you we're a partner with 9/11 Day. This is the official National Day of Service and Remembrance that happens, as well as a partner with the United Nations International Day of Peace, which is September 21st. The thing that's kind of remarkable this year is the Pope arrives on September 22nd. So we're thinking, well, wait a minute. Now, who is America and who are we becoming? If you've been watching, this has been the summer of Trump. So are we going to show the world that Donald Trump represents our values? The good news is when the Pope arrives with this 11 days, and hopefully if we can activate these talk show hosts, we can get millions and millions of people to become aware of the games, and they could do good deeds and have that be the face of America when the Pope arrives on the 22nd. So, you know, even though I'm Jewish, I love this Pope, and I'm saying we better get ready. The Pope is coming. We better get our moral house in order and look like who we really are and not this kind of weird expression of ego that we've seen.
Yeah, I think it's so exciting, really, to launch in this space with talk show hosts, because in the U.S., I mean, they really are leaders. And I think that there's so much more that they can do with the leadership.
So who's more compassionate? Is it Ellen or Oprah or Bill Maher or Stephen Colbert? Or we want to use this spirit of co-opetition to engage them.
And also to engage them together, that they're a community. It's not often that you see all talk show hosts together saying, wait, hold up here. We're the most compassionate. But for them to be a team, really, of inspiring that partnership there as well to elevate the goodness out of all their teams.
So we're aiming for the fences. We're trying to get mainstream America to go compassionate. I mean, everyone is compassionate. That's the thing. There's nothing new here, really, but it's maybe something so simple and timeless, but is often forgotten, that just to start your day with a little more kindness towards each other can go a long way in making the world a better place.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are John Raymer and Summer Joy Albertson of the Compassion Games International. The 2015 Compassion Games take place September 11th through September 21st. What are some examples of compassionate action or playing compassion games for the Earth?
I would say getting out in nature and going to a park, cleaning up garbage. And that can be a simple act as oneself or to actually bring a team together and do something that really supports not only the Earth, but also the community of wherever you live.
Yeah, one of the interesting leagues we have is the Indigenous Peoples League. So we've been working for a number of years here to protect the sacred. So there is a game, if you will, and the Tsleil-Waututh Nation from Vancouver is going to be participating. And we birthed the Natsamat Alliance last year, all around protecting the sacred. The idea that, as you know, in our region, we're being inundated by the fossil fuel industry. This is a fossil fuel corridor in their eyes to move the coal, the tar sands. And so last year in the games, the 4 days of action that we had led up to a signing of the International Treaty to Protect the Sacredness of the Salish Sea, led by Coast Salish Nations and their allies. I'm honored to work with Hereditary Chief Phil Lane Jr. and Sundance Chief Reuben George. And these folks are really using the games as a platform upon which to unite in unprecedented unified action. So unprecedented unified action is examples from Mother Earth, as well as the most simple things. And, you know, they're all connected when you realize that, in fact, caring for oneself is caring for the Earth, and caring for the Earth is caring for oneself and for each other. So love this place. We use the Earth Week, where we went out into the community and asked people to take pictures of places that they love and tell us why you love those places, and then engage with others to protect those places.
And during that week as well, we actually led a traveling love activation dance mob, which I don't think has ever happened on the planet before. And we had a group of people and went onto the buses using the incredible bus system that we have here in the city. And it was very interesting. You know, there aren't many people on a bus that I think really interact with each other. But the group of like five or six of us that were on the bus, we were there to spread and activate love everywhere we went. And we had our compassion torch. And we went around and asked people on the bus, like, what do you love about Seattle? Why are you here? And just to bring some acknowledgement of this incredible city. And it just spread this ripple of interaction and people sharing. We had candy, and there were other people on the bus that were giving us candy. And then we started to sing songs about love, and there was this young teenager in the back of the bus that was like, hey, do you all know this song? We started to sing Joy to the World. We were on the bus for about 15 minutes, and then we went down to the Seattle Center, the heart of the city, and we led a dance mob there. And so, I mean, that is a simple act, but it made such an impact, and we were surprised.
Play is this underutilized resource. The power of play is it lets you get out of your comfort zone. Now, you don't have to be in your panic zone, but there is a place between what's called your stretch zone, right? I mean, just interacting with people. So the games give you permission to step outside your usual self and stretch those muscles and take some risks and engage. Because if we don't change our direction, we're likely to wind up where we're headed. And the games are one of the many ways that people can engage and use creative fun to shift our direction. So there's an urgency and a fun at the same time. It's like I say, you know, do the heavy lifting with a light heart. There are real challenges and sustainability. My gosh, we need that. And maybe even thrivability, right, in all of this. If that's going to happen, it's going to be because we're going to learn new ways to play with each other and new ways to engage with each other.
Would you give us the details of the 2015 Compassion Game events happening in Seattle?
Yeah, the opening and closing ceremony.
Well, the opening ceremony will be at the Armory Building down at the Seattle Center. And we are blessed to have KEXP supporting that event. And we have Love City Love, and all of the organizations that we are showcasing are all really inviting people to be connected more to the community and ways to be of service during those 11 days of global unity. So we'll be doing different compassion games. We have this incredible Compassion Planet game that we'll be playing right there on the spot, of breaking up everyone that's there into planets and letting go of the past and letting go of the future and just the present moment, and how compassionate can we be right here in this moment and see what happens in that space, and really inspiring people to engage in compassion games. We'll have global unity dances throughout the evening to get people into the embodiment of global unity. We're also really excited to be live streaming the event. So we'll have the ability of teams all over the world and their events live streaming and connecting.
Compassion Seattle is one of our partners, and there's a whole initiative called Honoring Beloved Community. There's like 20 partners that'll be there, from El Centro de la Raza.
Backbone Campaign.
Yeah, there'll be a compassion activation station there. But I mentioned this earlier, and I want to underscore this. Homelessness has been a tough issue for us. You know, we started this 10-year campaign to end homelessness and ended up with now more homelessness. Well, a number of cities around the country have taken this on as a first step, which is to end homelessness for veterans. So we'll have a group called the Seattle Stand Down. And there's an Operation Welcome One Home that says by the end of this year, let's get every veteran who's on the street, at least give them the opportunity to have housing. And that's coupled with our partnership with Seattle Center. Around in October, there's a free health clinic happening at the Key Arena. No questions asked. Anybody who needs health care can come and be served at no charge. So we're using the opening ceremonies and then the closing ceremonies, which Summer could tell you about as well, to really inspire us to do things, not just during those 11 days, but to keep the ball
beyond,
moving,
yeah.
You know, with free health clinic for everyone in October. And then by the end of the year, our county executive, Dow Constantine, as others are joining in on this effort, and other cities have done this, we can do this. We can end veteran homelessness by the end of the year. There's only 662. Now, it's functionally zero because people are coming in and coming out, but that is a kind of example of what we're capable of doing as a community that could really inspire us to take on more challenges after.
And also, we have a calendar on CompassionGames.org where you can lean in to cities and the events that are going to be happening during those 11 days that are captured on our calendar. And we do have a lot of local events that are captured there that will be a great resource.
There's
here.
A community forum on homelessness happening on Sunday, the 20th, that we're a part of. Why don't you tell them also about the closing ceremonies you got planned?
On September 21st, we are actually teaming up. We're also partnered with organization Unify that has this global peace weekend happening throughout, I think it's the 19th, 20th, and 21st. There's a collective meditation and collective ceremony, and then there's also collective actions. And one of the ways to connect with that is through another partner of ours, the Silent Disco Squad, which is based out of Montreal. And we are going to be doing the first Silent Disco Squad on Capitol Hill up at the Cal Anderson Park. And the wonderful thing about the Silent Disco experience is that it's a way to unify. And so the music that will be streamed, there'll be pockets of these silent discos happening all over the world, listening to the same music. And it happens with headphones and streaming to that music. So we'll have a countdown, and we'll all begin to dance together to this music and take it out onto the streets of Broadway. So I'm still mapping out where we're going, but the plan is to follow the rainbows up on Broadway and come back to Cal Anderson Park and really unify on, it is the International Day of Peace and the end of the 11 days, but hopefully really just the beginning of more compassion on our planet, where we're going to come back together in a circle to reflect and really unify and honor the peace that is within us and also on the planet in a candlelight ceremony back in circle. And that starts at 6 o'clock as well and goes till 9. We also are teaming up with Crave, a local organization with Melody Behringer, and she's been a part of these silent walks. And so we're also, before the silent disco, is we're going to circle the park in a silent walk. And I did this about a month ago with 200 women downtown Seattle, and it was amazing. It really, we in silence walked the streets in a path, and on the sidewalk we had these really inspiring words that led us on this walk. So yeah, it's going to be a wonderful, unique way to be in community and really celebrate this global unity and service and compassion and caring that's happening here and all over the planet. So we want lots of people to be a part of that with us. And this event, the closing ceremony, is on the 21st, but all of these events, again, are on the Compassion Games site.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
It doesn't have to be complicated to be more connected to compassion, and that Compassion Games is here to simplify and make it easier on how to illuminate more caring and compassion. And we're excited to have people lean in to be a part of this that already exists, that the caring and compassion, we are caring and compassion. And so we're excited to celebrate and bring that forth even more.
Yeah, compassion is the power source for social innovation. And that with compassion, we can make our communities safer, kinder, better places to live. And we can play together so everybody wins. It's really that simple. And hopefully this is a message that'll resonate with folks and they'll reach out to us. Get out of their comfort zones and look for creative ways to care for each other and use this year's Compassion Games to make them bigger and more impactful than ever before.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you, Diane.
You were just listening to John Raymer and Summer Joy Albertson of the Compassion Games International. For more information, check on the web at compassiongames.org. And remember, the opening ceremonies for the 2015 Seattle Compassion Games take place at the Seattle Center Friday, September 11th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the Sustainability segment again next week on Listener Power 90.3 FM and KEXP.org.